That is a quorum. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. All right, under the chair's report, first thing is I'm going to turn it over to Linda, our county clerk. She's got a couple of things for you.
Got me now? Okay.
Yep.
On your desk is a green slip of paper that we need for the public directory. Very important that everybody fill that out and sign it. Let me know yes or no whether you want that information in there, if that information is wrong, or if there's new information you want to add. So please fill it out completely, sign it, and that authorizes us to put your information in the public directory and on the website. So except the name, the address have to be in there. Everything else is optional and up to you. Okay? The second thing is about mileage statements. There's been a lot of confusion, not mileage, meal reimbursement. There's been a lot of confusion about that because I don't know how long ago this happened, but it was fairly new in our lifetimes that in order to get reimbursed for any meals on a one-day trip, those now have to be considered payroll rather than whatever they were before. So they have to be on a different form. So anytime you want to be reimbursed for a meal and you weren't gone overnight, you can't include that on your mileage statement. You have to use this other form. And I have them up here if anybody wants to pick them up.
Don?
Yes, Don.
Are we going to... I don't think they were ever tax... they were tax-exempt meals, weren't they? Now they're taxable meals.
That's
according
correct.
To the sheet.
That's
I thought
correct.
They've always been
when
taxable.
Did that change?
Well, I don't know if it actually changed or if finance just learned through the IRS or somebody that we needed to do it differently.
Gary,
well,
anyway.
I don't. We never split them up before, and now we are getting more paperwork all the time. But the problem I have is I'm not sure how it really works. I don't get a monthly statement back from my expense sheets that I turned in. I can't tell what you're paying me for and what you aren't. And that's a problem because I can't tell which is expense and which is something else. Last
Gary?
Month, for example, I had two meals deducted off of my salary, and I didn't get any real good answer. I can't follow it. We got slips of paper for everything except we don't, as county board members, get a monthly statement showing where we were.
Well, for tax purposes, Gary, at the end of the year, would your department be able to give a person a printout if they requested it?
Sure.
Okay, there is your answer, Don. So,
I got you, Don.
End of the year, talk to them.
Thank you.
All right.
And the only other thing I have is, since this is a reorganizational meeting, some of you get your information via email. Some of you have it in your packet. If anybody wants to make a change one way or the other, stop getting the hard copy and go to email and the website, or the other way around. If you're having problems with email and website and you want a hard copy, if there's any changes to be made to the way you're currently doing it, please just let us know.
Mr. Bina.
There is one more issue that I was going to ask you about. I do go to meetings once in a while, not very often, but I don't collect the $9 that you're willing to pay me. If I go to a meeting and it costs me $5 for Subway sandwiches, that's what you're getting in your expense sheet. 2 months ago, I had one $5 Subway sandwich and one for 7 1/4 at Baroque Richmond Center. When I saw my sheet, they showed that I was getting paid $9 a piece. Now, that isn't right and ethical either. I never charge any more than it cost me to get a meal. And if it's $5, it's going to be $5. But yet you're paying me $9, and I don't think that should happen either.
Well, what did you have on that sub sandwich?
It wasn't gold-plated, if that's what you mean.
I think that you get reimbursed for what you actually spent, right?
Correct. Right.
That's what should be.
And Dolores, the enforcer from the finance department, never makes a mistake that I've ever seen, so I don't know why you got more.
Okay, we'll negotiate that one.
All right. All right, anybody else? Okay. Tara Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the green slips of paper, we have to indicate our preference for whether things are listed in the directory. Can the Corp Counsel just remind us one more time about email and if we're using county email or private email and what the guidelines are for open records information related to email, please?
And this is important, so people pay attention.
Yeah, email are public records. So if you do county business on your personal email, there is always a chance that somebody will make a public records demand and have to go into your personal computer and email address. If you want to avoid that, there are two ways of doing it, using your county email, or there is. We also had a special mailbox set up that you could deliver any county business to that mailbox. So if you mix your personal and your county business together, there's always that chance that you will be subject to some scrutiny at some point.
What I would ask, we're going to pretend like we're in grade school. Everybody pass your green sheets that way. When it gets to the end, if those people just collect them and turn them in, that way they don't go home with you and Linda gets them before you even leave here tonight. All righty. WCA Convention Committee, volunteers needed, and we already have one volunteer. Arlene Benrood is going to head up that convention committee. So if anybody's willing to help her out, we've got the WCA convention here this September, is it?
September, correct.
It's always a very big production. The people over at the convention center and the hotel do 90-some percent of the work, so it's
right.
Not too difficult, but we do need help.
Okay, I will be calling on some people. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you,
and
Arlene.
I've done it before, about four times.
Good. All right, supervisor conference reports. Anybody have any that we should hear about? Ray Ebert.
Yes, I went to the Conservation Congress, the County Conservation Congress. It's real interesting. The invasive species thing is something we have to be real careful of in the Mississippi. So that's going to be up and coming, and be aware.
Thank you. Anybody else? Over there, Bridget Flood.
Don Bina, Jeff Schrader, Nick Nichols, and I went to Wisconsin Counties Association Alternative Energy Conference, which was pretty much just keeping us abreast of what's going on in Wisconsin for the demands for alternative energy, for renewable energy. Right now, Wisconsin has no native energy source, so we must develop more renewable energy by law in Wisconsin. So the utilities and the state are considering solar energy, nuclear energy, biogas, biomass, wind energy, water energy. But right now, this conference focused on wind energy because that is the best bet for us in developing a quick resource for renewable energy.
All righty. Thank you.
Oh, might I add, next week, Monday, in Pewaukee, is a Wisconsin Counties Conference for Media Relations. So I think people should just consider going to that.
You're going to that one?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. But it's next Monday?
Monday.
Okay. Thank you. Bev Mock?
Mary Meehan Struve and I attended the Wisconsin Associated County Extension Committee's District 5 annual meeting, known as, it's WASEC. Anyway, I went for two reasons. We went April 6th in Hixton, and I went for two reasons. First, to learn a little bit more about WASEC, but also I'm on the committee that's planning the annual conference, the state conference, that's being held here in La Crosse at the Radisson Hotel on June 15th and 16th. And we'll be getting registration forms for you next month. They'll be handed out to you. I'm hoping you will all plan to attend. I learned a lot of things that Extension is doing that I'd either forgotten about or things they're doing now that they never did when I was a kid. But they were concerned, as we all are, about the budget cuts. There were three new legislators from the northern counties just passionate about the fact that we have to realize things are being cut straight across the board. And if we think something is worth supporting, we've got to do more with our state legislators and at the federal level, our Congress people. Don Bina and I are on a committee. We're working on the auction at this conference that's coming up in June. If you have some really nice stuff in your house, but you're planning to do some spring cleaning, maybe you could bring us some things that could be put up for auction and let us know if you have anything. The fundraiser that the auction supports is sending WASAC members to a lay leaders conference in Washington. And that's my report.
Clean out your basement, drop it off at Bev's house. Jeff Schrader.
I might add that I attended the high-speed rail conference also that was held in La Crosse here, and what became of the conference I think was probably all in the paper, but what it boiled down to, there's $8 billion out there that everybody's grappling for, and what we're hoping for here in La Crosse is one more train a day that'll be able, then people will be able to commute between the Twin Cities and Chicago on a daily basis, if so needed. Also, most of the money that's going to be spent in the state of Wisconsin is going to be spent, I think it's from Watertown to Madison, making actually, I think they have to build the whole railroad. It's going to terminate at across the street from the air terminal down there on 51, Highway 51. Thank you very much. And also, I'd just like to add a little bit what Bridget said about the energy conference. There's not too many places in the state of Wisconsin that the wind is over 30% efficient, and we have only one place in La Crosse County where it's only slightly viable.
Brad.
And I also attended the Wisconsin Association of Railroad Passengers Conference. And just to add to that, there was discussion in the paper about the Midwest Initiative possibly getting, I think it was $5 billion of those funds, the possible $8 billion. So just throw that out there.
Other conference reports. Arlene Benrood.
Yes, thank you. I also attended that on Saturday. It was an all-day affair down at the center, and we did learn a lot. That's one thing. Another thing is on Sunday they had open house at the Onalaska Library, which I was on for 14 years, and Steve gave an excellent presentation at the library. So I want to thank you, and there were a couple other supervisors there, and so thank you.
Thank you. Jill Billings, did I see your hand up?
Thank you. Under Jeff's topic of grappling for money, I attended the Joint Finance Committee meeting with Supervisor Hampson, Supervisor Johnsrud, and O'Malley. And there were other supervisors there. Supervisor Ebert was there. And retired Supervisor Hansen was there. And we talked about the concerns that we have in La Crosse County. The four of us went one after another with O'Malley batting home run with some questions asked. And I think it was good that we had a presence there. And the second thing is in regards to the stimulus package on Friday, I went to a meeting at WWTC with people in the community who work on family and children's issues. And many of them were from the Family Policy Board, which Jerry Huber set up several years ago, which positions us in a good place to capture some of those dollars that hopefully we can get in our community, because we already have people at the table, and the feds are looking for collaboration among groups. And so we talked about working together to get some of that grant money in our community to work on family and children issues. Under the quote, we'll bring in more if we collaborate more. And I think that was hopefully a good start to quickly getting some of that money.
Good. Any other conference reports? Anybody else have anything? All right, that gets us to Mr. O'Malley.
Okay, you'll notice that there is an amendment under my report to make a recommendation to hire Hank Cook as our solid waste director. We just had a meeting of the Public Works Committee where I talked a little bit more about the report on the interview process, as well as you've received the same handout. Hank Cook, you may recognize, is currently working for FOTH on our behalf. Under the terms of the agreement, he obviously will no longer work for FOTH. He will divest himself, although it's not necessary. He will divest himself of any interest in FOTH and no longer have an ongoing consulting relationship there. We talked about the interview process. We had two separate panels interview the candidates, and he was the highest ranked interview candidate for the position by both panels. And I recommend his appointment as our solid waste director.
Is there a motion on that? By Leon Paff, seconded by Brad Conkle. Discussion? Ralph Geary.
Yeah, I don't know if Bob got that information. I asked him what our comparables were paid, and he said he was going to get it. I see he's out there. Could he tell us that? Yeah, I don't know if he got it or not, but after the meeting, he said he was going up to his office.
Bob, did you get the information?
I don't have the comparables, no. Ralph, I have the pay
Oh, okay. I thought I asked him for what the comparables were. Well, at one time, Brian was the highest paid solid waste manager in the state. My concern was not on Hank. I know he's worked for the county through FOTH, done an excellent job. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with when we advertise a salary of 65 to 89 or 70 to 89, what we're actually hiring here is an engineer at that pay range, I think, and I don't think engineers applied for it because it was not, you know, when you advertise a salary at a certain level, people that are already at that level, it's a lateral move, or people above it don't apply for it. But if we're going to move the salary to 97, which was higher than was, I guess it was a range plus negotiable or something, I guess that's the way they're telling us, we should have made that determination that we wanted an engineer, because at that salary level, we would have probably got engineers applying for it. I don't have a problem with that person. I have a problem with the way we did it, because I think we should just put a range, and whoever applies fits within that range. And that's my concern.
Mr. O'Malley, do you have any comments?
We've had a history, both with my position, Human Services Director, as well as other positions, that starting salary depends upon skills and abilities and experience. It was my determination that we could meet the needs of the department by eliminating the second position and actually saving money, as the fact sheet describes. It depended on the candidates who would be able to do both positions, and in my estimation, Hank is able to do that and save about $60,000 a year of salary, short of what we are doing before.
Other discussion? Questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
The noes are Jim Burns, Maureen Friedland, Ralph Geary. That motion passes.
The next item I've got, and I've only got a few slides, so I won't. This won't be a long report, but I wanted to give you an executive committee actually asked that I bring the details of this to you at the full board meeting, so the executive committee won't hear this for a second time either. This is an up-to-the-date estimate, and I don't have handouts of this because most of these slides you will have seen before. We can make copies if folks want to, but they're only a total of four slides. If that wants to work. the specific funding cuts and shifts that are happening in the proposed budget before being considered by Joint Finance right now include, much like most state agencies, a 1% cut in most areas. Shared revenue, land conservation, circuit court, state inmate reimbursement, income maintenance, youth aids, highway GTA, and several other areas that just go on. So it means that we're taking most of the same cut that other state agencies are taking. The place that we have a little bit of a disagreement with the state in the budget consideration right now is there are much larger cuts and shifts in costs to counties at the very time that we're being asked to provide more services by our citizens that are newly unemployed and struggling in the local economy. And simply what's happening is a shift to property taxpayers to provide state services without the funding. In most of these cases, there's been no increase in state funding on the right-hand side in about two decades. In basic community allocation, in youth aids, no increase in shared revenue for over a decade, and yet in the current budget that's been proposed, they are making major cuts in the impact to county services. The Clean Sweep Grant is recommended for 100% elimination. That's $100,000. That's about one quarter of the funding for our household hazardous waste program. They're increasing tipping fees, just imposing that on us. This would be in addition to every increase that's happened. I believe, if I've got the correct numbers, over the last 15 years, every increase that's happened has been imposed by the state, not by La Crosse County. They're proposing a $3.40 a ton tipping fee increase. We're lobbying on that. But again, it goes directly to the state, doesn't provide for the services that we're providing through our solid waste department. Basic community allocation, BCA, is a 14% cut in addition to the 1% cut and in the first year of the biennium and 16% in the second year. This is the key funding source to family and children services that deal with abuse, neglect, and delinquency in our system. Economic support, we end up getting an additional cut over and above income maintenance because we are one of the family care pilot counties. It's about $80,000 a year to us. Increases in juvenile correction rates, meaning that anybody that's placed in Lincoln or the other state agencies due to court order, we would have to pay an increased rate, which is much beyond inflation. And then, of course, mental health rates, the cost for placements at Winnebago and Mendota would be much more over inflation. All of these are specific cuts that are going on. Wisconsin counties execs and administrators are working to strategize, to lobby as best we can on trying to get some reinstatement. And that's, and I'll get back to that in the third slide, but the current estimate of budget impact, as best we can tell right now, without any change in what's on the table, is in 2009, we will need to make up approximately a $450,000 cut in this budget. Approximately 100 of that is the Clean Sweep Grant. In 2010, will be approximately an $800,000 cut. In 2011, again, another $800,000 cut. In addition to that, based on wage and benefit projected increases in each of the next 2 years, if we follow the current pattern and recognize that we do not have settlements for 2011, so it will be a challenge for us if these cuts hold. We will have to discuss what our options are in closed session and in negotiating strategy for 2011, but we are settled with most contracts for 2010, so we've done that projection. In addition to that, all of us know that the stock market and investments have not been performing very well. The Wisconsin retirement system has experienced, I believe it's quoted at a 30% loss in their principal. Am I correct on that, Gary? And Chuck, I think Chuck's watching this too, just not out of curiosity. But that the loss in the WRS annuity will end up impacting, and they haven't finalized the increase, but what they've projected is approximately a 0.8 increase in the cost of the retirement annuity from 10.4 to 11.2% for each dollar paid. That's about a $400,000 increase. We do know that what's been projected in the governor's budget, if you choose to do it, is a levy limit at 3% instead of 2%. That's about $750,000. We've identified some other ways that we can use revenues, and I'm very conservative here. The Mississippi Valley Health Services and some others, maybe $400,000, maybe more, depending on how we deal with the capital and other expenses at Lakeview. You know, I've talked about the benefit to that. That will help us, but it may not reduce our overall levy. I'm projecting that over the next two calendar years, if the budget holds, it's about a $1.8 million gap.
Ralph Geary.
A question on that WRS. You said it's going from like 10.4 to 11.2. Is that negotiable, that increment that's increased, or do we negotiate that, or what do we do the portion we pay?
In 2010, the contract is settled. In 2011, that could be a subject to bargaining, yes. However, you should know that it's across the board, that's pretty well set as a pattern among comparable counties. This would be a significant change if that ended up being an issue to negotiate in bargaining.
Tara Johnson, did you have your hand up?
Thank you. Can you explain the $450 in 2009 again? I'm sorry.
Right. Remember that when a governor and a budget is adopted, it's for the fiscal year 2009.
So it's that gap between ours and theirs.
It's that gap. So okay. It's actually an overlap. But the clean sweep grant is 100%, so it's as if it impacts our entire calendar year. If we do not prevail, we have to come up with other revenue or cuts out of household hazardous waste equaling $100,000, which is about a quarter of their entire program.
So, but is that $100,000 in 2009 column up there? Is the $100,000 in that for 50?
Yes.
Okay. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes. That's so. It's one quarter of that number. Thank you. Right.
Other questions?
So, again, we will be bringing you additional steps to consider, but we're analyzing what our best impact is. In the discussions with other counties across the state, it is very clear that members of the legislature are concerned about this kind of impact. While the state budget is going up approximately 7.7%, and then, 7.7% from one biennium to the next, several billion dollars, to be in a position that they are cutting counties at the very time that citizens and the most vulnerable in our society that are relying on us even more just does not seem to add up. And that there are legislative members on joint finance that have said that county funding and at least trying to minimize the impact on county services is one of their top priorities. I've got handouts that deal with asking you to call joint finance committee members and ask that counties specifically be helped out to deal with county property taxes are paying for the state-mandated services that are the safety net to our citizens in economic support, in children and family, in nursing homes. And these six areas that I'm going to touch on up here are also identified, and Executive Committee and Legislative Committee have gotten a detailed handout on this. Children and families, the cut across the state is $20 million to all counties. Youth AIDS is $11 million. JCI rate increase is $2 million. Income maintenance is $11 million. Mental health placements is $13 million, for a total of $59 million, plus the change that they're trying to, in retrospect, institute on nursing home funding. You may recall the what's called the Certified Public Expenditure, or IGT, funding. The state gets reimbursed by the federal government because of the losses in Medicaid reimbursement to county nursing homes specifically. Not for any other nursing home, but county nursing homes specifically. And unfortunately, the budget that's being considered tries to grab $15 million of that away from county nursing homes and add to the state budget. We've identified $75 million total, $59 million plus $15, that are the top priorities for counties to ask to be reinstated. It's less than 1% of the entire biennium budget. If they're increasing spending in other areas at the very time that we have increasing demands for county services, property taxpayers should not have to make up that difference, and we should be able to provide the services to the most vulnerable in society. So if you get a chance, again, I've got handouts to ask you to call Joint Finance. We do have a receptive ear, and we believe that they are looking for ways to make that difference up. Counties are willing to do our part, But why should counties take a larger cut than other state agencies at a very time where citizens are relying on us that much more, and at the very time that the county taxpayers can't absorb anymore?
Questions? Bridget Flood.
Not so much a question as a comment on this. We had discussed this in the legislative committee, and I would really like to see a staggered contacting of the people on the finance committee. I've already emailed them all, but I kind of figured I would just call people on this board, give them all the email addresses and phone numbers and all the information we got. I would email this to you and ask you to please contact them. So, I will be giving you information to do this as we go along, if you want to just wait for that.
Excellent idea.
Thank you, Supervisor Flood. It has been a great addition to the Legislative Committee, and under Ann's leadership, we've been struggling with how do we best interact with the legislative process. Supervisor Mettinger, others that have been involved in this, we have a handout that has all the names, addresses, and emails of Joint Finance, as well as, if you have not yet got this handout, it provides a lot of this detail with specifics. And again, most of the time when you call a member of the legislature, you're not going to get a lot of time. So you don't have to be an expert in every piece of this. But if you want more information, you want to do more homework, just registering our concerns as Supervisor Billings talked about when we did at the public hearing, a number of you also were there. This is our chance to end up impacting that and to protect the services to many people that don't want the services. You know, there are unemployed people that come to us that never wanted to be in the situation that they're in that are relying on us. There are families in trouble that didn't want this kind of economic impact that are relying on us. And this is our chance to influence that and to have that impact. So the last slide that I'd like to touch on then is to emphasize you as elected officials have the right and the ability to influence Joint Finance Committee as they're going through their deliberations, and the information is right here. I'll set it off to the side if you don't already have it. Secondly, your finance staff, led by myself, are working with management team and department heads, examining what our range of options are, both for 2009 and beyond. We've done a number of discussions, and we've already got a meeting schedule started with our largest departments. We will start bringing in recommendations on how to deal with this. And finally, you may have read the executive committee minutes. We've started working with and talking with our bargaining units and labor representatives, talking about a way that we would ask employees to consider considering what's called a leave without pay or a short furlough type of idea that would be voluntary. Rather than imposing things on people, asking employees who are also serving the public if they're willing to help us try to forestall some of the impacts on budget. We've gotten a very positive response from bargaining units so far. We just met in labor management with the union president and other representatives, and I was just so pleased the union president volunteered along with myself to agree to an additional 3 days off without pay that I will volunteer for. She has also volunteered as a challenge to other employees to consider that. We'll come back to you with a policy discussion about how that would be structured and that type of thing. But again, we're trying to be proactive on two fronts. One is to ask the state to pay for the services that they mandate us to provide and to not cut us harder than state agencies. And secondly, asking our employees who are in the trenches, on the front lines providing services, to help us out as well. And so we'll keep you up to date on this. Again, I'm confident that we'll get through these difficult times, we'll meet the challenges and preserve the majority of services that we have, and we have employees that are also dedicated to that same goal. So I just want to keep you up to date on this each month. As we have new information, we'll bring that to you.
Any other questions for Steve? For as tight as things are in La Crosse County, here's an interesting little tidbit that it could be even worse. I was in court in Monroe County today and talked to Judge McAlpine. As you know, they have repeatedly tried to pass a resolution to do a new jail or an expansion of their courthouse in Monroe County. It keeps failing. He told me that since 2001, they have spent $4 million shipping prisoners out of county, and they presently ship out 59 prisoners per day. So that would cost us a fortune. I guess it could be worse than what we have here. John Mettinger.
I was talking to my nephew the other day, who happens to work for the La Crosse Tribune, and he covers Monroe County. And in Monroe County, I think they got an additional judge. They elected an additional judge, did they not?
No. Replaced one.
What did they do?
They have a new judge,
but yeah. They don't have any place for him.
Right.
Oh, they want a third judge, but they don't have a place for it. Third
yeah.
Judge.
That's be it. Setting up orange crates in
Tent City.
Yeah. So we're in pretty good shape here, actually. All right, that it for you, Steve?
Yes.
All righty. Next up, we have Jeff Blesky, who is going to talk about the complete count census.
Yes. Can you hear me now? I think it was on. In front of you is a report marked census report. If you don't have a copy, I can certainly get you one. This is a good segue based on what you've heard from our administrator on the budget, because this is really the kickoff for the 2010 census. In my report, I indicate that, as everybody knows, the U.S. Constitution mandates a head count every 10 years. The numbers have to be turned in to the president by December 31st, and one of the nice things for this April count, April 2010 count, is there's only going to be one form. It's going to be a short form. There's no long form. Currently, the long form is used annually on a random basis. It's sent to certain property owners, and it updates the census on what's called the American Community Survey. The licenses that are sold in Wisconsin and the births are also used to update the census. The reason I'm speaking today is in anticipation of a resolution that might be passed out of executive forming a complete count committee.
That's item 18-4, by the way.
And first I'm going to just talk a little bit about how the census data is used, because a lot of the departments that we have in La Crosse County depend on a portion of the $300 billion that's apportioned every single year for Title I grants with the school districts, Head Start programs, the handicapped, the elderly, the women, infants program, child programs called WIC. There's mass transit that depends on this funding, and so on. It's also used for redistricting the House of Representatives and our local legislative districts. So simply put, what is the committee? The committee is a list of volunteers who are committed to increasing the awareness of the census count by simply motivating people to fill out the census form when they get it in the mail. Believe it or not, in 2000, there was three sections of the county where only 30% of the people filled these forms out. And the reason I stress this is because it's very costly to send census workers back out to the homes where they didn't receive these to sit down with the people to fill these out individually. That's a very costly process when it could be done just by filling this form out. I think without going through the questions that are on here, every single question is used in apportioning of those funds. We're planning on meeting maybe once a month. We could form some subcommittees that deals with special ethnic groups, migrant workers. We'll definitely be working with the schools, the churches, civic groups, and the media to get the word out on this. There's more work involved than that. That sounds pretty simple, but the hard part is going to get this 40% that don't want to be counted. They just don't want to be found. And how do we get them to fill this paperwork out and send it back in? So that's our big task. So if you sign up for this, and I think the county clerk might have a sheet that's going to go around, I'm looking for maybe about 10 people. We'll take more. The people that were on the committee last year, we had 15 people, but we also had department heads that are have an interest and a benefit, not financially, but as far as helping the community out. So if you sign up, you're signed up to work through April 2010. I guess with that, I'll answer any questions.
Jeff, we're talking about it starting up right around maybe midsummer, approximately?
That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is not the redistricting stuff. This is the census. Redistricting will come after that. This is a PR committee, so that's what we're looking for people to help out with, just getting the word out. Okay. Questions for Jeff, Don Bina?
You say you can do it with 10 people.
Well, it'll be about 10 other maybe department heads and employees.
To
too,
how many
so it'll be
people?
About 20 people.
Okay. To how many people are you sending that form out to then? You're not sending it to every man, woman, and child in.
It goes to every single residence.
It goes to every resident.
And then on the form, the head of the household, somebody just flips a coin and picks who that is.
Yeah.
And then they list the people in that live in that household, and then they have to figure out what their relationship, their race is, and their age, and so on.
Well, the 10 people then will probably be pretty busy because you're not going to get too many of those back. My wife worked as a census counter any number of years ago, and she had to go door to door. Now, you need how many, what percentage back before they'll say it's fair? 30, 40, 50%?
It's got to be over 30%.
Got to be over 30.
But we averaged 60% in 2000.
Okay.
So we're just trying to pick up the other 40%. And we're not the ones, you know, the membership, they're not the ones that knock on the doors. The census workers still do their job. We just get the word out the best that we can in order to get a successful count.
So there's other people hired that will go out then?
Again, this is a PR committee. This is not a committee that mails out these or goes door to door.
That's right.
Nope, this is a PR committee. Brad Conkel.
I was wondering, how do you count college students, or do you count them at all?
Good question. A form is actually sent to the university because in the instructions that are given to the household or the head of the household, if there's a college student, university student that is not living at home, they're instructed not to count them as living at home. The university counts them based on the census at the dorms, in each one of the dorms.
In fact, if you have an exchange student staying with you, Tara Johnson, that person would count for the census purpose. So. Tara?
Point of personal privilege, since you mentioned it. I would like to introduce the Rotary Exchange student who will be counted in the census this year here in La Crosse.
All right.
Andrea Oriana Velez is a Rotary Exchange student from Ecuador who's staying with us.
You'd almost think we had that set up. Any other questions for Jeff? Okay, thank you, Jeff.
Thank you for listening.
All right, cards and correspondence. Check the bulletin board. There's all sorts of stuff up there today. Before you leave, you should do that. Committee meetings during recess, I don't believe there are any. I do understand that congratulations are in order to Audrey Cotter, who just walked in the door, the new city council president. Congratulations, Audrey. And now we have appointments.
Chairman Doyle.
I have three appointments that are listed on the agenda. I'd ask for approval.
Been moved by Chairman Doyle, seconded by Supervisor Mettinger. Discussion on the appointments. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Appointments are approved unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there a motion on the consent agenda? Moved by Jerry Sobranek to approve, second by Bill Brockmiller. Any questions or comments on the consent agenda? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Planning, Resource, and Development, Tom Rauch. Oh, wait, never mind. Just a minute. Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to suspend the rules and move the Aging and Long-Term Care Committee to speak next on the proclamations and the resolutions. There are people here that that would like to speak on that also. I'd like to make that motion next, that they be allowed to speak on some of these resolutions.
Is it all of them or in particular the Freedom Honor Flight? Just
a freedom honor flight.
Okay, so your motion is to suspend the rules to go directly to 25-4, which is a resolution regarding support of fundraising for the Freedom Honor Flight.
That's correct.
Second, second by Arlene Benrood. All in favor of suspending the rules and going to that point, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. And now I understand that somebody was going to make a motion to allow a couple citizens to be heard. Who's going to make that motion? Jeff Schrader, seconded by Jerry Sobranek. Jeff, can you just, for the record, the names of the folks that you're asking to be heard?
I don't know how many of these people want to speak. I don't know if just Chuck Hansen is, he's the president of Freedom Honor Flight Board.
All in favor of allowing Chuck to talk to the board briefly, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Come on up to the podium, Chuck.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to briefly ask for your support for Freedom Honor Flight. As you know, this is the effort that is bringing veterans from World War II to be honored at the memorial in Washington, D.C. We had a very successful flight in October. Unlike the federal government, we don't make flights unless we can pay for them. And so it's important that we get the message out that this is a broadly based, community-supported effort. The motion before you is in connection with one of the groups that is trying to help us fundraise, because May is Tavern League month. The Tavern League has agreed to support Freedom Honor Flight. They're going to be having canisters at all 165-plus taverns, collecting money that's going to be going to Freedom Honor Flight. We are raising money through veterans organizations, through businesses, through individual donations, and now the Tavern League is helping as well. So the motion is really designed to support Freedom Honor Flight and the importance of fundraising for that in the community. And I think that if you've ever talked to a veteran who's had this experience or a family member, you'll recognize how important it is to the county and to the surrounding communities. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Chuck, any questions for Chuck? Okay. Our Veteran Service Officer, Jim Gaussman, is here. Jim, do you have anything to add to that?
Just very briefly, Lee Snap from the Tavern Honor Tavern League came to my office. I don't know why he picked me for this, but take that with you. Freedom Honor Flight has been very successful, very popular. As Mr. Hansen stated, all donated private funds. First flight last October. I hear over and over as vets come into my office. This isn't a normal resolution to come before the county board, but I wanted some recognition because this is truly a selfless act on behalf of the Tavern League. They're supporting this. There is nothing in this for them. And at over $100,000 a flight, this is a very expensive but critical program. There's one scheduled for June. There's another one, I believe, next October. Every flight with about 85 to 100 veterans costs $100,000. It's all private donations. So whatever the resolution is worth to help publicize their effort, I agreed to work with these gentlemen to bring it to your attention. Thank you.
Ralph Geary?
Did we put something on our website on how people can contribute or whatever?
It's been
on
there.
It's on a county website.
It has been there, and we'll make sure that's updated, Ralph.
Any other questions? Okay, moved by Jerry Sobranek to approve Resolution 25-4, support of fundraising for the Freedom Honor Flight. Let me just read it real quickly. Whereas La Crosse Freedom Honor Flight chapter honors our veterans by flying them to Washington, D.C. to see the monuments built in their honor, and whereas May is National Tavern League Month and the members of the La Crosse City County Tavern League are planning to raise funds to support the Freedom Honor Flight program, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board supports the fundraising efforts of organizations to benefit the La Crosse Freedom Honor Flight chapter. In the fiscal notice, there is no cost to the La Crosse County. As I said, moved by Jerry Sobranek, seconded by Jeff Schrader. Any discussion on this one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Thanks, guys, for all your help. All right, let's go back now to Tom Rauch and Planning Resources and Development.
Are we sure?
We're sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have item 5/4. Petition number 1808 from Carrie Afwan of Chipmunk Road in Stoddard, Wisconsin. to rezone from Transitional Agricultural District to Ag District A in the town of Shelby. The committee voted unanimously in favor. I move the committee report.
Mr. Rook moves the committee report, seconded by Andrea Richmond. Questions or comments on this one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 6-4, petition number 1809 from James Antinia Finch of Main Street on Alaska to rezone from Exclusive Agricultural District to Ag District A in the town of Barry, and the committee voted unanimously to approve conditional use Ag District A zoning subject to the recording of deed restrictions indicating this parcel cannot be further subdivided and only one single-family residence may be constructed on this property. I move the committee report.
Mr. Rook moves the committee report, which is to approve subject to the deed restrictions. Second by Don Bina. Questions or comments on this one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 7-4, conditional use permit number 791 for Daniel and Erica Schultz of State Road 108, West Salem, who request to operate a tile, grout, and carpet cleaning business called Genesis Tile and Grout Restoration with storage in the existing 25-by-26 detached garage, 8-by-12-foot shed, and office in the residential home on lands zoned Ag District A in the town of Hamilton. The committee voted unanimously to approve with 8 conditions. I move the committee report.
Mr. Rook moves the committee report, which is to approve subject to 8 conditions. Is there a second? Second by Bill Brockmiller. Discussion or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 8-4, termination number 42 of conditional use permit number 244, originally issued to Jamie Peasley, now no longer the owner of the property. And the reason for termination is this business has not operated from this property for 12 consecutive months. The committee voted unanimously. I move the committee report.
Mr. Oak moves the committee report, which is to terminate. Is there a second? By Bev Mock. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is there any objection to Mr. Rauch doing 9, 10, 11, and 12 together, which are all, again, these house cleaning terminations? Any objection to him taking all those together? Okay, go ahead, Tom.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Item 9-4 is termination 43 of conditional use permit number 199 issued to David Goyette. The business has not operated from this site for the past 12 consecutive months. Committee voted unanimously. Item 10-4, termination 44 of conditional use permit number 54, issued to Robert and Carol Kasperik, not the current owners. The business has not operated for the past 12 consecutive months. Committee voted unanimously in favor. Item 11-4, termination number 45 of conditional use permit number 17, issued to Everybody's Mood, Inc., current owners Richard and Barbara Schaumburg. The reason for termination is this older conditional use permit has been replaced by conditional use permit number 787, which this board has recently approved, which will remove and replace the 200-foot tower with state-of-the-art. Committee voted unanimously. Item number 12-4, termination number 46 of conditional use permits number 26 and 220 issued to Carl Pedretti. And these two conditional use permits have not been used for more than the past 12 months. The committee voted unanimously to support that. I move their complete approval.
Mr. Oak moves the committee report, which is to terminate on those four items. Is there a second? Seconded by Don Bina. Questions or comments on these? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have item 13-4, a resolution regarding approval of the Town of Barry land use map, whereas the La Crosse County Comprehensive Plan 2007 to 2027 states that to keep current with municipal actions, the county will update the La Crosse County future land use map at least annually. And whereas the Town of Barry has adopted a land use map attached here too, delineating the land use districts in said town, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby approves the committee's recommendation that the La Crosse County Comprehensive Plan future land use map be amended to include the land use districts established by the Town of Barry in that exhibit and as a guide for future development activity and to aid the County Board in the performance of its duties. Be it further resolved that the county planner is directed to bring an ordinance to the County Board at the appropriate time amending the La Crosse County future land use map, including the land use districts adopted by the Town of Barry and the approved plans of other local government units fiscal note, there is no fiscal impact to the county. I move its approval.
Moved by Tom Roach, second by Bob Kyle. Discussion? Ray Ebert.
What exactly are they changing, or?
What we're proposing to approve is the inclusion of their land use map as part of the county land use map to reflect what the town has indicated that it would like to have. Perhaps,
so this
Charlie.
Is their initial.
Yes.
Their initial thing. Now, aren't we adopting their entire thing by reference?
Is your mic on?
It's on. They told me not to sit so close. I can't imagine why that would be. I was under the impression we adopt them by reference. Is that no longer true?
We're adopting the land use map by reference.
Which is what this resolution does.
Okay. How about their entire plan? Is that done by reference, or how is that done, or has theirs already been done?
They adopt their plan with all of their goals and all the verbiage in the plan. We adopt their recommended land uses into ours. The two plans, the verbiage in the two plans will be different because they have a local focus and we have a regional focus. The things that are the same are the recommended land uses.
Okay, I'll talk to you. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. Carried unanimously.
Item 14.4, very similar approval of the town of Madary land use map, whereas the La Crosse County Comprehensive Plan states that to keep current, the county will update our land use map at least annually, and the town of Madary has adopted likewise a land use plan and a map. Now, therefore, it be resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby approves the committee's recommendation that the La Crosse County Comprehensive Plan future land use map be amended to include the land use districts established by the town of Madary as a guide for future development activity and to aid the county board in the performance of its duties. It further resolved that the county planner is directed to bring an ordinance to the county board at the appropriate time amending the county future land use map, including the land use districts adopted by the town of Madary and the approved plan of other local government units. Fiscal note, no fiscal impact to La Crosse County.
Moved by Tom Rauch. John, did you have a question? Second, then by Bob Kyle. John Menninger.
And maybe this isn't the right time for the question, but I figured it fit in here, so I'll try it. If you go out of Highway 16, as soon as you get past the overhead there, you're in the city of La Crosse, you're in the town of Madary, you're in the city of La Crosse, you're in the town of Madary. It's on both sides of the road. It's kind of a hodgepodge, which is fine. But just when you get past the Monument Company, you know, we got that beautiful view of the marsh. And I had a call from a constituent that was concerned that it says future home of Edwards storage units, more of these crappy looking garages, you know, that are stuck all over the place. And the person thought it was in the city of La Crosse, but it's in the town of Madary. And, you know, when we're driving out Highway 16 and you're going to block the view of the marsh with storage units, is that part of our comprehensive plan?
Actually, I stopped in and talked to Jeff Blesky earlier this week or last week with that same question. Do you have the answer, Charlie?
Yes.
I know Jeff does.
We don't allow mini storage units in that zoning class without a conditional use permit, and a conditional use permit was approved for that location for mini storage units.
By us?
By us.
When?
About 5 years ago.
Oh, good. It was before me anyway.
There was a reason why, and Jeff explained to me that because of all the concrete that's under there, you can't run like water and sewer and so forth, so there's not really, and you can't put a basement or anything, so there's not much of anything that can actually go there. So that's apparently by default.
Well, I'm not sure I'm buying that either, but it
I'm just telling you what a department head told me. I believe everything he says.
And I see it's zoned here, conservation mixed use, whatever that is. I guess a question is if there's anything we can do to at least have another look at this, because I'm not buying that you can't put something better than that there. If you go down the road a little bit further on the right-hand side, they're building those condos up there. They're building those on pure rock. But maybe it's in the city where you can get city services.
Well, it's a conditional use permit that's already been approved, which is a very specific zoning approval, as you know. So in order to change that, there would have to be a request to amend that conditional use permit from some specific parties. I think that's listed in the state statutes as the town, the the landowner and...
Or the county board.
Or the county board. Any one of those three could bring a petition to amend that conditional use permit.
Well, I don't know if it's too late in the process, but it's worth looking into, I suppose. We could actually take back that zoning and deny. I mean, I'm not against these storage units. I don't find them very attractive. I don't know if anybody finds them very attractive. I don't know if there's anything in there about buffering. I had one of these at one time by Woodlawn Cemetery, and they put some storage units behind that car dealer back there. If you can get your frame of reference, it's more off of Lozier Boulevard than it is off by Woodlawn Cemetery. And the person promised to put all these trees and all these shrubberies and have a nice view, and he put about six trees about 2 feet high, and 90% of them are dead.
What I would recommend, John, is that you contact the chair of the Planning Resource and Development Committee and see if that's a future agenda item that they would consider as far as this specific property.
You're good.
Yeah, hey, good job passing the buck. Okay.
Well, no, that buck is with you and will stay with you.
I heard him.
Jeff, did I forget anything in your explanation to me? Because I had that. I saw the same sign.
Well, it said these storage units are actually going to be on two different sites. We haven't seen any plan on that yet. It says future home of these. But on the Collins site that they've been filling for some time, the Collins site is going to be the recipient of the University of Wisconsin La Crosse buildings that they're going to be tearing down this summer. They're going to use that for fill. And then they've got to put so many feet of clean fill on top of it. Pardon? No, for more storage units. And the fellow that's purchased this for quite a sum, knowing that he could do this. So,
and that includes the house there too.
Yes,
what you told me.
Yes.
Okay. I think Marilyn Pedretti had her hand up.
I had a quick question. A conditional use permit. We've just been terminating a whole bunch that haven't been used for a year. This is 5 years ago. Is it still viable?
He hasn't taken a permit out yet, so it's still viable.
So it was approved 5 years ago, but he hasn't taken the permit out.
Mm-hmm. So we approve a conditional use permit, and then that doesn't start any clock running until they actually take out the permit?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Other questions or comments? Ralph Geary.
Well, I'm not sure about taking somebody's zoning away that they've already gotten. Is there any, if somebody gets a conditional use permit and spends a lot of money and we take it away, do we have any obligation to reimburse them for their expenses, or how does that work?
That's an issue that nobody wants to tackle in this state, and it's called a taking.
Mm-hmm. I would recommend we have that conversation with an agenda item.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. If anybody wants to pursue that, talk to Planning, Resource, and Development Committee, and they'll put it on the agenda. By the way, I think the other thing Jeff mentioned to me was that the reason that these are popping up all over the countryside is that, John, your fair city of La Crosse makes it extremely difficult to locate them in the city.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Again, I'm just telling you what I hear. I didn't make this stuff up. All right, Tom Rauch, next one. Oh, wait, did we vote on that one?
No.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Well, Mr. Chair, my last item, I hope, is not any more controversial. Item 15-4 regarding approval of the Town of Washington land use map, same whereas is now therefore be resolved. The La Crosse County Board hereby approves the committee's recommendation that La Crosse County Comprehensive Plan land use map be amended to include the land use districts established by the Town of Washington in Exhibit A as a guide for future development activity and to aid the County Board in the performance of its duties. Be it further resolved, the County Planner is directed to bring an ordinance to the County Board at the appropriate time amending the La Crosse County future land use map, including the land use districts adopted by the Town of Washington and the approved plans of other local government units. No fiscal impact to the county. I move the committee report.
Moved by Tom Rauch, seconded by Don Bean. A discussion or questions on this one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. That it for you, Mr. Rauch?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Executive Committee, Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have an ordinance, item 16-4, to amend section 4.11 entitled Purchasing Procedures and section 4.13 entitled Contract Approval Procedure of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin. This is its second reading. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, seconded by Andrea Richmond. For your reference, this is the one that we had the presentation on a while back, the new procedure. Any questions or discussion on this one? All in favor say aye. Oh, Jill Billings had one.
I apologize, I raised my hand late. I just wanted to double check, and I don't know if this is with Brian or Bill, just to make sure we're all clear about under purchasing operations and procedures, under best judgment purchases, so 6A, or no, sorry, 6C, under official sealed bids, that the approval of the auditor, finance director, and standing committee is needed to award a bid or RFP over $20,000 by all departments except for health and human services departments. The approval of the department head, auditor slash finance director, purchase manager, human services operations administrator, and health or human services financial manager or their designee is required to award a bid or RFP by the human services department or the health department. So the committee will no longer be weighing in on those over $20,000?
Well, you have to remember that these are authorized and budgeted purchases. So the committee has an opportunity to weigh in on the budget, and you know, in human services, you can have, you know, whatever discussion is necessary to get some definition of the kinds of contracts that are included. So, you know, the committee has that authority. We're not taking that away. If there is an unbudgeted purchase, then it requires committee approval. So it's only in the authorized and budgeted purchases. And, you know, I see box after box of these things. They're all the same purchase of service contract. So, you know, these contracts have been negotiated over a period of time by staff, and I think that if you need to give direction to staff on what they should do, it should be earlier in the process. So when we get to the actual contracts, you know, there isn't, I mean, they're the same contract with only the units and the rate of for each unit that are different. So it's a pretty routine, mundane chore to look at those contracts.
Thank you, and I agree. When we talked about this in committee, it seemed like not a lot of questions were made about those contracts. I guess my question is why this specific committee and not have all the committees address them the same way?
Well, the reason being Human Services has far and away the most contracts of any department in La Crosse County, and it was the Human Services contracts that were subject to the auditor's criticism that the contracts were not being completed in a timely fashion. And the reason for that was this elongated process where, you know, the department, the committee, you know, my office, the chair's office, there were, it strung this process over many months, and we were not in compliance with our auditors. So we went through this process improvement project to try to speed that up. The other contracts are not of the, you know, the same routine contracts in other departments. They're much smaller in numbers, and they tend to be different. They're not so formalized as Human Services.
Thank you.
Gary, did you want to add something on that? No? Okay. All right. Any other discussion or questions? Don Vina.
This is just for Human Services then?
And Health Department too, but the Health Department only has about 9 contracts, but since they report to the same committee, we put them under the same procedure.
Okay. And if a budget came in you know, $70,000 over what it was the prior 2 years or three-year period in human services. That would then be approved by the department head as long as it's under $75,000. I think I read in one of the minutes.
Again, it has to be authorized and budgeted. So, and that's where
To be in the budget.
It has to be in the budget.
And
you know, that's why we felt that our finance department was the best checks and balance of that, because you know Gary and Brian have their fingers into the budget, and they would know that. When I see the contracts, I don't know whether it's under or over the budget. I have no idea.
I know.
Gary will have that that frame of reference and be able to question the department.
As long as the final total goes back to the committee for them to know what it is, that is, I think, important. Whether it's in or over, in the budget and within the budget or over that, that total has to go back to the committee at some point in time.
Right. I mean, if there's a contract that they know will exceed budget, there generally is a resolution that will come through the executive committee and to the board. Occasionally, there's transfer of funds, you know, at the executive committee level. But if it's a new program, I think you've seen that with new programs that have been started out in the middle of the year that have come by resolution because they're not budgeted, and that would be the same process for those unbudgeted programs.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor of the ordinance, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 17-4 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, a resolution regarding the three-year statement of intentions for Department of Transportation. Whereas the Wisconsin DOT requires a statement of project intentions from local units of government intending to apply for federal and or state aid for harbor-related work of any type within the next 3 years, and whereas the improvement proposed in calendar year 2011 is to engineer and install two tripod barge tie-off structures for the lower end of the Harold E. Craig fleeting facility, along with 200 linear feet of riprap for bank protection throughout the area. And whereas this three-year harbor development statement of intentions is used by DOT for planning purposes only and is not a petition for federal and or state aid, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby approves the attached harbor development statement of intentions for the years 2010 through 2012. The fiscal note is funding sources for 2011 proposed improvement projects are fleeting rental $30,000 and DOT Harbor Assistance Program or HAP funds at $121,000. I move its approval.
Moved by Terry Johnson, second by Jeff Schrader. Discussion or questions? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 18-4 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors. This is now the resolution for the approval of the formation of the Complete Count Committee. Whereas having an accurate and complete census count is important to our community in determining federal and state aids and grants, economic development, housing assistance, transportation improvements, and many other uses, and whereas every resident of our county deserves to be counted in the 2010 census, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors recognizes the importance of the 2010 census and agrees to form a complete count committee with appropriate subcommittees as needed and to promote the census to assure that all residents of our county are counted. Be it further resolved that the Complete Count Committee shall be an ad hoc committee of the county board appointed by the county board chair, and this committee shall report to the executive committee as needed. Fiscal note is the costs of the Complete Count Committee are unknown and not budgeted at this time, but would be subject to approval by the county board when determined. I move its approval.
Moved by Terry Johnson, seconded by Vicki Burke. Discussion or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 19-4 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, a resolution regarding the adoption of contract for Lakeview Local 1403 union employees. Whereas La Crosse County and the Lakeview Local 1403 employee union have concluded collective bargaining negotiations, the parties have reached a tentative agreement. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the tentative agreements of the parties for changes to this contract for the years 2009 through 2010, including across-the-board wage increases of 2.0% in January and 1.0% in July for each year of the contract, be ratified as the changes to the working agreement between La Crosse County and Local 1403 Lakeview Employees Union, effective as specified in the agreement when ratified by the union. Be it further resolved that the personnel and finance departments are authorized and directed to take such action as is necessary to put said working agreement into effect and carry out the intent of this resolution. The fiscal note is the estimated increase in cost of wage, fringe benefits, and roll-ups for 2009 is $227,128 for a cost increase of 3.47% compared to a 2008 base, of which 1.13% is insurance, for which funding was budgeted. And for 2010, it is $223,447 for a cost increase of 3.30% compared to the 2009 base, of which 1.09% is insurance. There are 203 employees in this unit. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, second by Bill Brockmiller. Discussion or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 20-4 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding approval of addition and updated 2009 proposed user fees, charges for services, and permit revenues. Whereas the La Crosse County financial management policies indicate that the county will establish service fees and charges wherever appropriate for the purpose of keeping property taxes to a minimum, and whereas it is proposed that the 09 master comprehensive master list be updated to include the user fees, charges for services, and permit revenues as set forth in the attached Exhibit A by the following departments, Land Conservation, Zoning, and Home Health, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby approve the additional and updated 2009 proposed user fees, charges for services, and permit revenues for the comprehensive master list, as set forth in Exhibit A, to be effective April 21, 2009. The fiscal note is the revenue generated from the attached updated user fee, charges, and permit revenues for the balance of 09 in the Land Conservation and Zoning Departments is estimated to be $6,000, and the Health Department estimates additional revenue in the amount of $10,208. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, second by Tom Rauch. Audrey Cotter, do you have a question?
Yeah, and maybe it's not necessary, but under the home health one, there was an increase in the charges for foot care, but that's group setting rather than home health, or should that be listed? I know it was a pretty controversial item.
Gary, do you have any response?
Did that come up at a committee meeting?
It came up at aging long-term care and the aging unit meetings. And those, the rates, they changed the system to some degree in that they are they're reducing the number of foot care clinics that are being done outside. So when I see this as home health, I understand. But
response.
Audrey, the Supervisor Cotter, that was discussed at committee, the meeting that you were not at, and we dealt with that in quite some depth. Can you clarify your question? I'm sorry, I was doing an interview with a media source just for a second, so I didn't catch what you asked.
Yeah.
But I was at all of those meetings that dealt with that issue, and specifically part of it was a direct response to your question at the first meeting that we dealt with that.
Well,
so
should it be on this list, I think, is your question.
That's my question, because I believe that there was an increase under the Health Department in relation to foot care.
Let me look into that and get back to you, but no, I don't believe it. It needs to be a part of this. We've been working to provide that that foot care clinic and resolve that with aging long-term care.
Okay. So thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a quick question on the last item of the list where it says private insurance, home health aid. I guess could you maybe, or could somebody go through exactly what that is? Give us an example of
Gary
that charge.
Well that's an allowable allowable billing rate for private insurance for that type of a service for a home health aid employee that we send out.
Okay, so this is an employee of La Crosse County.
Correct.
And not an employee of a contracting business, it's not a rate that we would somehow reimburse a contracting.
It is for a La Crosse County employee that is sent out.
Okay, and we contract out some of those services to the private sector. Maybe not. Maybe I'm thinking of another area.
Yes, you might be.
Okay. Maybe it's involving the CMO, possibly. Okay.
Well, and keep in mind again that the county is no longer in the CMO business. So.
Yep. Exactly.
But you're right. There was contracts in that case.
Okay. Thank you.
Ray Ebert.
Yes, sir. What is a LIDAR under land conservation processing points? It's something new, and I.
Yep. Jeff Lesky. Yeah.
Jeff is coming.
Will give us that explanation. And Jeff will also repeat the question.
The question is, what is LIDAR? 2 years ago, the county board approved a resolution authorizing us to purchase LIDAR and new aerial photography. LIDAR is a method of creating ground control and contours. It's based on a radio signal that's sent from an airplane down to the ground and shoots back up as the airplane moves. I would estimate there's probably somewhere around 30 million points in La Crosse County that were taken based on that flight. We use this now for our Land Conservation Department. That's why we've given that product to our Land Conservation Department. They use that to prepare contour maps for individual farms when they're looking at controlling runoff from barnyards. We also use that for processing quarries before and after. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. I just didn't know what it was. And
okay. No, good question.
Thank you, sir.
Any other
thank
questions
you, sir.
Or comments? Jill Billings.
I just want to clarify. These are not all the charges for user fees or permits. These are just items that have been updated since we set our budget. So there's a lot that's, when Audrey talked about foot care, there's a lot that's not included in that.
Yes, keep in mind that this is the entire list that was approved in November, and what the resolution before you tonight is just additional items that have come up that we needed to address.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 21-4 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding acknowledging the best of public service. Whereas the following employees have been a faithful part in providing the best of public service to La Crosse County: Sarah Weath in the Human Services Department Clinical Division over 31 years, Cheryl Schmidt at Hillview Healthcare Center over 18 years, Martha Pack at Hillview Healthcare Center more than 17 years, Mary Cheetah at Lakeview Health Center over 16 years, and Catherine Zabel also at Lakeview Health Center more than 12 years. Whereas it is the wish of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors to acknowledge long and faithful service on behalf of the citizens of La Crosse County, now therefore be it resolved that a resolution extending our congratulations be recorded in La Crosse County Board proceedings and a certificate of our actions be presented as an expression of our gratitude. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, second by Brad Conkle. Any discussion? John Menninger.
It doesn't say it on here, but we do this because they're retiring, right?
Correct.
Okay, it doesn't say that anywhere, but that's why we do this.
Right. Any further questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. That it for you, Tara Johnson. Thank you. Aging and Long-Term Care Committee, Audrey Cotter.
Thank you. I've got item number 22-4, which is a proclamation on National Volunteer Week 2009, celebrating people in action, which is April 19th to 25, 2009. Whereas April is Volunteer Recognition Month, and whereas many of our residents spend hours volunteering their time and energy to improve the La Crosse County services and programs, and whereas it is important to acknowledge the effort volunteers have put forth to strengthen our county's communities and services, and whereas celebrating people in action, volunteers can make a difference in countless ways, and whereas La Crosse County has provided opportunities for people to become actively involved in enhancing their communities, and whereas residents of La Crosse County have consistently been involved as volunteers through Hillview and Lakeview Healthcare Centers and the La Crosse County Aging Unit, now therefore we as members of the County Board do hereby proclaim the week of April 19 to 25, 2009 as Volunteer Recognition Week. I move approval.
Moved by Audrey Cotter. Is there a second? Seconded by Andrea Richmond. Discussion? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Thank you. I've got item 23-4, which is another proclamation, Living Today for a Better Tomorrow, May 2009 Older Americans Month, May 19, 2009 Older Americans Day. And the proclamation reads, whereas La Crosse County is home to about 20,000 residents 60 years of age or older, and whereas the older residents of La Crosse County represent a dramatic trend in our nation's demographic makeup, and whereas older persons are diverse, respected people who continue to contribute to our nation's social and economic well-being, and whereas a growing number of baby boomers are turning 60 daily, and whereas the number of individuals providing care to family members and friends is expanding significantly, and whereas the opportunities and challenges that lie ahead require us to work together to ensure our current services and systems may adequately plan for and address the needs of current and future generations, and whereas older persons are entitled to live lives of dignity and independence, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board, on behalf of the residents of La Crosse County, does hereby proclaim May 2009 to be the Older Americans Month, and does further proclaim May 19th, 2009 as Older Americans Day in La Crosse County, and urge all people to honor older adults and those who care for them during May and throughout the year. We urge all to promote and participate in activities that continue to help older Americans make choices for a healthy and rewarding future. I move its approval.
Moved by Audrey Cotter, seconded by older American Jeff Schrader.
Oh, thanks for not designating me as one.
He had his hand up. He wanted to make sure I didn't miss him. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Okay. 24-4. Is, oh, I got this a little mixed up here. What did I do with it? Okay. 24-4 is to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding the selection of PDC Midwest architects for phased one design of an affordable RCAC residential care apartment complex for the Hillview Healthcare Center. Whereas Hillview's mission is to provide for the long-term care needs of La Crosse County citizens, and whereas an RCAC will complete the continuum of care for residents, and whereas in 2008, Hillview Healthcare Center in Carroll Heights discharged approximately 40 clients to assisted living facilities, and whereas on February 9, 2009, the Aging and Long-Term Care Committee approved the issuance of an RFP to select an architect for the Hillview RCAC design, and whereas the county accepted 11 proposals for an initial evaluation, and whereas the four highest evaluated vendors were interviewed by the Hillview Administrator, Hillview Assistant Administrator, Hillview Business Manager, Facilities Director, Finance Director, purchasing manager, and a county board supervisor. And whereas PDC Midwest was the highest evaluated vendor based on their experience, 25-plus RCAC facilities in Wisconsin, specializing in long-term senior care facilities, cost competitiveness, breadth and depth of project knowledge, and philosophy on resident-tenant focus. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board approves the selection of PDC Midwest Architects under the guidance of the Aging and Long-Term Care Committee as follows. Phase 1, pre-design, and pre-construction, fixed fee of $20,750. Phase 2, percentage of final building construction cost 5%. Be it further resolved that the Hillview Healthcare Center is authorized to proceed with Phase 1 and the future approval of the County Board is needed before proceeding to Phase 2. Fiscal note, the initial planning design cost of $20,750 will be funded by ORG 3580 account 86050, other capital equipment, within the Hillview Healthcare budget. If the county board authorizes the project to proceed beyond phase one, the cost of design will be incorporated within the entire project cost. I move for its approval.
Moved by Audrey Cotter, second by Andrea Richmond. Pete Ide, the Hillview director, is here to address this item also.
Thank you for your time. We have been considering assisted living on the Hillview campus for 10, 12 years, long before I got there. It's been talked about. The history of Hillview, most of you know, goes back to the 1880s as a county poor farm, and ongoing with our mission, it turned into a health care center. The needs of the long-term care residents of La Crosse County have changed to assisted living. Assisted living is somewhat new to this older population, but it's a viable resource out there that is less expensive alternative to nursing home care. We are the only nursing home in City of La Crosse without the assisted living to help support Hillview. It's a place where we can discharge our people to assisted living, less restrictive, more home-like atmosphere, and meet their needs. We have Carroll Heights, the assisted living. As most of you know, many people leave Carroll Heights to a different assisted living that we cannot provide. As it says in the report, we discharged over 47 people to assisted living last year. And if we had those assisted living units in on our campus, it'd be beneficial for Hillview. The main for thrust of our assisted living to be affordable. We feel that meets the needs of our mission of the Hillview Healthcare Center.
Pete, yesterday I was talking with Dirk Gasterlin, who I believe is on the BSJ board, and I see we also have a letter here from Todd Wilson of Bethany Lutheran Homes, both actually raising the same issue, which is they're would appear to be perhaps a surplus of these types of units available in the La Crosse area right now. And if we would construct our own facility, number one, are we contributing to the glut? And number two, are we competing with the private sector? How would you address those?
I think we're meeting the needs of La Crosse County residents because I don't feel there's necessarily a surplus of affordable assisted living is what we'd be going after. I know my friend Todd Wilson wrote this letter. He says that his two-bedroom apartments are $4,200 a month. That's entry level. That's basic. You don't get very much service except some light housekeeping. We'd come in closer to 50% of that cost. But that's why we're doing the study. Again, we're doing the study for we're asking for approximately $20,750 to do the study to see if we go to phase two. When we do go to phase two, the actual construction and building of it, we would come back to this board for your approval.
So would the study address that issue in terms of that?
The studies that we have done and the studies that Whitley has done has addressed the issues. This phase one will address the cost more than that.
Okay. Questions, comments? Audrey Cotter, I think I saw your hand first.
Thank you. In my daily, my other life, I do a lot of visiting, and everyone, actually, almost every one of those facilities listed in the Gunderson letter. And what Pete says is so true, that they are much, much less affordable. And the other issue that has not been shown and come up here is the situation of a spouse, which I think is a very critical situation. As people get older, often they need different levels of care. And we have more and more people in their 80s and 90s still as married couples. And it's very, very traumatic for them if they get if they're in Hillview and the spouse then has nobody else. There's a single individual at home. They need to be closer to the individual in the nursing home, and they need the opportunity to be able to commute back and forth to the nursing home instead of having to go to totally different facilities. And there is no question in my mind, but the continuum of care, this is a great big glaring gap between what we have to offer with Carroll Heights and the nursing home. And the affordability aspect of it is a huge piece of it.
Ann Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want the board to know that Pete is not doing this on a whim. He has studied it for a very long time, and the committee has talked about it for a very long time. And it doesn't say that we're going to build immediately, but I think the key word here is affordable assisted living. And I think there are a lot of elderly people now in their homes who probably need assisted living but cannot afford it. And I just think we need to at least have this design and pre-construction resolution approved so we get a little further along. I think we'll find that it really is needed, affordable. More and more people are, you know, getting beyond the baby boomer. Rapidly, every day. Oh, John Menninger left. He didn't like that. Okay, that was an inside joke. Thanks.
Ralph Geary.
Thank you. How many units are we looking at?
We're looking at 24, and the architect, if they said 25 or 23 would fit perfectly, obviously we'd follow the recommendations. Okay. But 24 is the number we've looked out there.
Affordable housing, does that mean the government pays for it? If somebody's living on Social Security, they probably couldn't pay the $2,100 a month, so... Does the government subsidize it then, or do we get payments through that mechanism?
There is the government CMO-MCO program that would help for that, possibly. Each case is unique, of course, but yeah. Many of these assisted livings don't contract with the CMO yet.
Chair Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pete, I heard you reference the study. That's why we're asking for a study. Mm-hmm. So is this a study, or is this, you've already determined that you need it, and this is what it's going to look like, how many units, what the units look like?
Sure. Well, practically every day somebody comes to my office and asks, Hillview should have an assisted living. I hate to leave here. My parent has been at Carroll Heights for 5 years, and now they can go to somewhere else. The study was done by Whitfley in 2007 mm-hmm. to help aid us and guide us in the market of this. So a study has been done and completed and given to the Aging Long-Term Care Committee. And they have seen that and studied that, and they have given recommendations that there is a possibility for assisted living beds in
right.
our
so
area.
I thank you for that clarification, because what I heard you say a few minutes ago was the impression that I got from what you said was that this money was for more study of some kind.
The study of the financial feasibility of how much it will cost to construct.
Not the need.
We feel the right. need is there, and that's what we're going on with the study for the cost. We as Hillview Healthcare Center, have a general good idea in talking to architects how much this will cost, but not until we have plans drawn out and bids going out. Will we know the exact cost?
Okay. So then back to the question that was raised by Chairman Doyle, the other providers of this type of service who also participated in that the study back in 2007. What you're saying is the distinction, the response to their concerns about a glut in the market or, you know, excessive sure. availability of this would be the pricing of it. That's the distinction for us at Hillview.
The distinction for us is our mission is to come in the most affordable as possible. We would be on the very low end. I know it. They referenced 12 to 8, 12 RCACs, 8 CBRFs. We would be in the lower 10% in cost is our goal with a new building, of mm-hmm. course. Granted, some buildings are 60 years old. They may be able right. to match our price point, but that's our goal, to come in on that low end.
And that it could be as much as 50% less than the going rate for it, the
not the
market.
The high rate. The high Mr. Okay. Wilson has the highest rate out there, and that's why I referenced his.
Okay, thank you.
Because he wrote the letter.
What would the low end be for a one-bedroom?
The low end would be 18,000 a month.
1,800.
1,800. That was spotless. 1,800 is still a hefty price, but yes, the cost for a nursing home is, you know, up to 6,000 a month. And with the baby boomers coming, we feel this is an important need.
I have Bill Brockmiller, Jill Billings, and Don Bina on the list. Are there other people that I have missed? Maureen, Ray, okay. And Chuck, okay. Bill Brockmiller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to reiterate what a couple of other supervisors have said and the director here, that even for one thing, I heard the phrase already used in my other life, as most know, in my other life, I compute a lot of statistics, including population and trends, and what I think we always hear, but I really work with it almost daily, is that shifting toward an older population. So even if there is a glut, whether perceived or actual now, and I honestly don't know, I do know one thing: even if there is a glut, it's not going to last very long. I mean, this is not a slow-moving trend. It's we see it in the reduction in participation in labor markets, and as people retire and as people shift to other activities in life. So we're just going to see this population grow. La Crosse County and the neighboring counties are really quite ahead on that curve, so to speak, meaning we're really some of the forefront counties in terms of that kind of change. And I also kind of applaud I think this type of housing and needs to be available at a number of different price points to serve different needs of retiring individuals that come into the situation with different available funds.
Jill Billings.
Thank you. My question is, it seems like you're going for this niche of people who need affordable residential care apartments. How do you ensure that...
A little closer to it, Jill. Something with that side of the room, I guess.
We're quiet over here.
Okay, so I have been... So my question is, how do we ensure that we hit that population that falls in that category? Will you look at income or savings, or how do you ensure that we're not competing with Bethany St. Joe's, but we're hitting those people that really need this service?
Well, with our affordable price, I think we'll be looking for the people who have that income that needs the affordable. They'll be looking for us, and we'll try to match them. The people with the more affordable that can afford the higher end, I feel they'll still continue to look for that. Sometimes they like the services that we won't be able to offer at the high-end assisted livings. Some of them have a bar and a tavern and a pool room in there. We will not have that in there. So the higher-end people may not probably look for us, but we feel there's a market out there that we would need.
Don Mina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of questions. I realize this is just an investigation,
You kind of made up your mind you're in favor of it. And I know we talked about this for the last 10 years about the possibility. Mm-hmm. First of all, who will pay for this? I heard Mr. O'Malley talking about not bonding anymore. Does the county bond for this and put it up, or do we get federal or state or some other funds to bond for this?
We would, yeah, this would not be tax levy money. So we would
at the county
level. No, there would not. We would not come here and ask for it. Hillview is not on the tax levy. They probably were on the tax levy to build the building. There is no tax levy money for Hillview or an assisted living. We would not come here and ask for that, and we would not come here if we didn't think that we could break even or have a small positive cash flow. Because I know the La Crosse County budget situation, there hasn't been money for that.
Okay, so it'd be something similar to what we did out in West Salem next to Lakeview by putting that.
I'm not totally familiar with that one.
Don't we have a feeder system already with Carroll Heights? And this is a kind of a feeder system for Hillview right now.
Exactly. We are losing those populations. Carroll Heights, very few, if 1% of Carroll Heights moves out of Carroll Heights unless they need assisted living or the nursing home. But we're missing the assisted living piece. So, yes, we would keep these people on campus. We hear that all the time, too. It's less restrictive. The spouses that Audrey brought up, they can make one move. I just heard about it today that, boy, I wish my dad didn't have to move. I just got him settled. This would be so untraumatic. Now he has to learn a new routine, a new staff, and that type of situation.
Well, I know some people that were at Carroll Heights, and then they moved right into Hillview from there, and that worked out just fine. Mm-hmm. But do we have all the entities filled in Carroll Heights right now?
No, we do have some open apartments in Carroll Heights, but that, again, is an independent apartment.
Okay. You talked about getting lower prices for the people who move in there. Are we as a county going to subsidize that price?
No.
I don't.
The CMO has a program. The MCO, it's now the MCO, but CMO has a program where if there's some income guidelines that some people can meet.
Okay, but you didn't
It's not the county.
I'd like you to give us some more statistics as time goes by on this. And my last comment is, Steve, if you got two letters, I'd kind of like to take a look at what was in those letters you got up there.
You got them on your desk, Don.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. Okay. It says Bethany Lutheran.
On the desk. I didn't see
there was
that.
Just one letter.
Sorry, I will read it. I guess I always thought that the private sector, we don't want to infringe in the private sector's system. And if we are, that starts to become a problem. I realize we have to look out for ourselves in Hillview, and we aren't exactly making an awful lot of money out there because the Medicaid and Medicare payments are not where they should be. And I'm not sure if that'll ever correct itself if the feds don't ever get their act together.
You're right. The reason why these other nursing homes built assisted living is to help supplement their nursing home. There's very few freestanding assisted living. Most of them are connected and part of the continuum of care, and the needs of long-term care and this assisted model is a 10-15-year-old model that's relatively new in the long-term care needs.
Okay, I think that about does it.
Maureen Friedland.
Yes, thank you. I want to ask a question about the fourth paragraph in the letter from Bethany Lutheran Homes, where it says that based on Bethany Lutheran Homes market study information, all of the providers in the La Crosse service area are competitively priced for the private pay market, and if they have not already, they can move to lower their price to accommodate lower income individuals qualifying for payment under the CMO Family Care Program. So that seems to indicate that there's some movability in these prices depending on what the market is like. And it seems to me as if we're going to try to fill a niche at a place where the prices may be going down, and we may end up with a glut still at the end.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that fourth paragraph by my friend Mr. Wilson, who I am in weekly contact with him as a colleague. I know the other nursing assisted livings, they have payments to make and bonds to pay. Some of them pay taxes. They have to pay their staff. For them to lower their prices, I think they have a price point. Some of those people have stockholders that they answer to, too. I have the prices for the other one, and we've done an in-depth study on that. The prices are all over the board. If I could read you, here's the one-bedroom rates for five of them, $3,500 a month, $3,100 a month, $2,800, $2,775, $2,626. There are a couple lower, and we would like to be in that lower area, too. So that's a quick range, too. The fourth paragraph stating that they are close in price, I think that's a big range right there that I read off.
Okay. Also, one more comment. Mr. Brockmiller is a statistician, and it's hard to take issue with what he says with his familiarity and with market trends and with age population trends. And when he first said that we need to plan for the future, that seemed to make sense to me. But as I think about it, I know that people are looking for the latest and the best facility, the most modern facility. And if we're planning for 10 years ahead, then I wonder if that's a wise thing to do. If there isn't a need now, maybe we should be planning for 5 years ahead, certainly not 10 years ahead. I know there are facilities in town that are now 10 years old that are considered to be way out of date and way unpleasant and uncomfortable to live in. And so the new facilities, the ones built in the last year or two, are the ones that people are going for. So I agree
with your statement that planning has to be considered, and the baby boomers are coming. One of the major reasons we selected PDC Midwest is because they've built those 25 units in the state of Wisconsin in the last couple of years. They know the trends. They've done it. They were in the buildings. They know what works, what doesn't work. They're way into technology, which was impressive. Yeah, it's something to be considered. And yes, we would, if approved, first we're going to approve this. First of all, you may approve this phase one study and then phase two. We would be in the newer market. It would be a year. It'd be next year before it opened. We're already another year past that, closer to this baby boomers coming and that type of thing.
Okay. Ray Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'll take the blame. I'm the one who brought all this up. I'd like to thank Pete, his assistant, and Brian for getting me the long-range study from Whipley. That was quite a exercise, and I want to thank them for...
I think you had it when you were on the council, Ray. Weren't you on the long-term care committee?
A couple of years ago,
yeah. It's the same study.
Okay, well, I guess I didn't keep it, okay. and apparently someone else didn't either because it was a heck of a thing. I guess my concern is not so much if we do it or don't do it. I just think that I spoke with Todd, I spoke with Tom Rand, who's Bethany St. Joe, and I spoke with Dan Meyer, who's St. Joe Rehab. Mm-hmm. And all I would like to do, I guess, is see it go back to committee, have the committee invite these people in and listen to them. It would delay this a month, which I don't think is a big deal. I don't think the world's going to end. And I think you get some more information. The committee can either throw it away or take it. But I don't think that information, I don't think this is so timely. And we can listen to those folks. We did it 2 years ago. Todd came in and spoke with us. I just think that's good stewardship. And again, I don't see this as a timely thing. So I'd like to make a motion that this be brought back to committee.
Mr. Ebert moves to refer this back to committee. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Bina. Discussion on referral. So I'm going to go jump off the list of people who are signed up or who I have on the list. I want people to address the issue of referral. Audrey Cotter.
Thank you. I don't know that we're going to get a whole lot more information by sending it back to committee. It's already been discussed at a significant length on the part of the committee. And this is something that we've been looking at even prior to Pete's coming here. And the longer we keep stalling, the longer we're not meeting the needs of our people. And while it's important for us to focus on the financial aspect, it's also very important to focus on the needs of our people. We have the people in Carroll Heights that we're sending out to other facilities. They want to continue to live in their neighborhood. Carroll Heights is their neighborhood. And I think that's a really important reason that we should continue to focus on it. When you look, well, I could get into a lot of points in relation to the letter here, one of which is that if you look at the current availability, I mean, basically, other than Meadowood, there's only a turnover amount of openings in each of them. It's not as though there's a whole slew that they're grossly underfilled, because many of those facilities are quite big. So the committee has discussed it. The Aging Long-Term Care has discussed it. We've been discussing it for years, and I would hope that we turn down referral. Thank you.
On the issue of referral, Tara Johnson.
Pass.
On referral, Chuck Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I go back to Carroll Heights Day, and it was defeated the first time coming around, and the second time I supported it because I was more informed on it. I'm not going to support the referral, but I would if he changed that referral to policy and planning, I think the full county board should understand. Maybe the committees understand it great, but I don't. Would you agree to that, or would... I guess my way, all the supervisors will know about it, not just the same committee that already supports it and knows maybe everything about it.
You can change your motion to say refer to policy planning.
I would like request that this be referred to policy and planning.
Mr. Bina, you seconded. Is that okay with you?
Agreed to that.
Okay, so that's what's on the floor, is not to refer back to committee, but to refer it to policy planning. Chuck, is that
Thank
it for you?
You.
Okay, Steve O'Malley.
You notice that my initials are on here recommending phase one. I am not yet ready to recommend phase two. If this gets referred back without proceeding with phase one, you will not get enough information to be able to have a capital plan and an actual cash flow and all those types of things. Part of the analysis that's not in here is your finance staff and myself actually coming back to you with a finance plan that actually confirms what the cost of this is. I was not willing to support the previous administrator of Hillview on this because most of that work had not been done. We've now identified an actual population stream of the discharged clients from Hillview that are more likely to stay there. Rather than compete in the open market, this is not just hang out a shingle and we hope to attract people. It's about the people that already want to be there. By completing phase one, which only completes the design and gives you the final capital cost, we can then develop a financing plan that comes back, and based on what the census projections are, we can then make a recommendation to you of whether or not that will happen. That has to be a full county board debate. It has to end up proceeding with how you would finance that. Referring just this portion of it will make sure that it can't happen this year if we can be convinced that we can make a cash flow, and the operation has been reserving for many of the soft costs. Roger Plesch, if he were here, would articulate this much better than I am about what we've been projecting to do this. Again, this does not commit you to the next step. It gets you that additional information. Doesn't even eliminate the ability to have more dialogue with members of the public. If you believe that BSJ and others that are in the field should be interacting in this, there are plenty of forms to do that. But phase one allows us to, if we don't do it this year, we've got the plans, we've got the information, we can go next year or the year after. We have been stuck at this point for several years, and I'm willing to support phase one. I'm not sure on the recommendation on the final financing of phase two. I would urge you not to refer this, but to end up having that policy planning discussion on the larger issue when you have all the facts in front of you and you haven't invested any more than the $20,000 to make sure that you've got all your facts and figures in line.
And referral, Tom Rauch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm interested in making sure that we are making the best possible informed decision, and so I would be willing to support Mr. Ebert in this regard, but I want to be, for myself, very, very careful about contemplating the careful difference between studying an issue and studying it to death. And so I would ask him specifically. He named three or people that he thought would help us in our decision process, and not asking him to speak for them, but what kind of, I'd like to ask him, Mr. Eber, what kind of information they might provide to us that he would expect us to be recipients of that would in fact benefit the discussion. And as Mr. O'Malley just mentioned, this is specifically the phase one portion of the discussion, not the complete discussion or the build decision.
Mr. Ebert.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, as I understand, Todd and Pete probably knows more, but had they done a market analysis?
I know they did a market analysis when they built Eagle Crest. If they're doing yearly ones, I'd be somewhat surprised. Eagle Crest opened in the fall of 2007, I believe.
Correct. Yeah, I'm not saying they do it yearly.
I don't. Right. So they probably haven't done one since our market study. Would be my imagination.
Correct. And then I know Mr. Rand, he would not say the market is saturated, but he did say that they would not be in the short term or long term looking at putting anything else in La Crosse or on Alaska.
Right.
Mr. Meyer was more that there's an excess of units. And they all seem to indicate that if they have excess of units, then they're willing to lower their price and go to that. I mean, I just think that there's three people, and I don't know what percentage do they control of the units like this. 80% or?
Yeah, that would be so, I mean, probably 80%.
Those three have a substantial part to do with the market. I think that their input would be very important and help us.
And that's good, and I'm not disagreeing. Mr. Meyer's price point is much significantly higher than where we would come in to. He would give his opinion, and he's welcome to his opinion as a resident of La Crosse County. I don't feel we're in direct competition with Eagle Crest, Metalwood, some of the higher end assisted livings. We're looking for the affordable track.
I was just trying to answer that. I think those folks would be worth listening to.
And right. And I just wanted to get across that Mr. Meyer and Eagle Crest are high end.
Still on the issue of referral, Ann Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm very happy that the referral got switched from aging long-term care, because we have studied this and talked about it for so many years. But I also think that getting referral to any other committee without having phase one completed, you will not have enough information to make the decision. Once again, we have to stress that La Crosse County is trying to go for affordable assisted living that the lower income people now cannot afford. And I know Eagle Crest is very expensive. They do have a bar. They have a theater. They have a beauty shop. They have a grocery store. I've been there. It's gorgeous. But, you know, we're not talking about that ballpark. And so I really don't think, I have nothing against postponing this a month, but I don't think that you will get enough information to make a decision if you do not do phase one. Because then we will know what it would cost and what we can afford and what the price would be. So we have to know that before we know if we can go ahead with this. Because if we can't build something that the lower income people can afford, then I probably wouldn't be able to approve it either. But we can't figure that out if we don't do phase one.
John Menninger.
Yeah, initially I wasn't, I wasn't thinking that referral would hurt anything, but I'm trying to figure out exactly what it would accomplish. Even at policy planning, those aren't public hearings, are they, Mr. Chairman? We don't let everybody come in here and willy-nilly kind of lobby us, do they?
They wouldn't be, but we could set the rules if we wanted some specific people to address us.
Yeah, and I suspect what you'd hear, we've already talked about this for about an hour. We've got the letter from these folks. I'm not sure exactly what delay would get us except for the same discussion we're having now. The thing that I've always kind of liked about the county board, in contrast to Block North of here, is that we've generally trusted the work of the committees. And over at City Hall, they never trust the work of the committees. And the committee has actually looked long and hard at this issue. And I think that, you know, generally, not always, but generally I think we respect that. And this idea, you know, we've been talking here like, and I know my friend Mr. Ebert talked about competition. Competition and this, I know the play, everybody's got to make money. It's not supposed to lose money. Lakeview loses money. Hillview makes money. But you got to pay the bills. You got to pay your employees. But this isn't exactly like competing against the private sector. I mean, I had a, relatives at Hillview, and I've had relatives at Bethany St. Joe's. They're wonderful places. I've never thought of them as even competing with each other in the sense of the private sector. You're talking about your parents. These aren't commodities that you just kind of push around where vacancies are. You're not shopping for cars. These are people that you love and respect, and you kind of want to honor their wishes. There are people who, example, that lived all their life in La Crosse, and they don't want to go down to Alaska, even if it's a dollar a month, because they want to stay here. So it's not quite the same. So I think the delay serves no useful purpose. I hope we vote this down and approve it tonight.
Let the record reflect that on April 21st, 2009, John Menninger found one thing that he liked better about the county board than the city council.
No, that's not.
It has never happened before in the history of this board. All right, you know, we've been beating this one to death. What would people think of the approach, and I guess I'm directing this to you, Ray, and to you, Don, as a seconder, if we do phase one and then have policy planning before we would do anything else? Would that satisfy what your concern is, to get the information before the train leaves the station?
Well, I think we would, the policy and plan, I'd actually like to have a public hearing before we did the X million dollar part. I guess I'd still, to me, $20,000 in today's market is still $20,000, and I guess I would prefer that we have the vote.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just trying to help. So we got multiple people still on the list. Tara Johnson's next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if this is a semantics thing. I'm not going to support the referral because I trust that there is significant information that we will get from phase one. And I bet most of us in this room will be expecting that there is a policy planning meeting on the data that's collected from phase one, so that we can make collectively a more informed decision. But I have to say, you know, my question from an hour ago or whenever it was about the study question versus pre-design, this looks like your building. This resolution looks like your building. And so if it's a semantics, if it's the wording that's used, I'm willing to accept that. But this feels like we are going down the path of, we're hiring an architect who's going to tell us what to build, but we're building. And I think that's where those of us who aren't on the committee are hung up, is that it feels like we're saying, by approving this resolution as it is, that we are agreeing to building something. And what I'm hearing from the front of the room is, we need more information, we'll get it from phase one, this $20,000 is going to tell us more, and then we'll all be informed. I'm willing to trust that process and not vote for the referral, but I hope it's clear that this is not a resolution to authorize building at this point.
Yeah, I want it to be clear. We're asking
for pre-design. It says pre-construction. It says design on it.
Yeah, that's the architectural phase. We modeled this after the jail plan. That was the exact jail plan. In my mind, to be perfectly honest, was kind of a different route. Kind of do it all at once, approve it or don't. Jim Spiropoulos and a few other people said, we did this for the jail. We did pre-design architectural study. There's a stopping
but
point
if
here.
If we are having a discussion here, Mr. High, if the debate is comparison with the jail, there was a resolution that this board passed that said, we got to do something. We've got to build a different law enforcement center than we have. I don't believe that this board collectively has yet made a decision that we have to build at Hillview. That's the piece that's different. So this resolution feels like we're already down construction path when we haven't had, you know, kind of the enabling resolution, which is there is a need for growth on the Hillview campus. So I will vote against the referral, but I want to make it clear for the record that I am accepting the assurances from the front of the room that this resolution is still a study and not getting us down the path of for sure we're going to build.
Chuck Spiker.
Thank you. I'm going to vote absolutely the opposite. This is the same reason that Tara said. But on page 102 of the county budget does not say in the capital improvement $2,640,000 at Hillview. Is that true?
Yes, but we're taking it from the line item above that number.
Right. Mr. No, Speaker. I understand that.
Yes.
I understand it, but it's in there.
It's in there, but and it is to be funded by borrowing. If okay. The resolution before you is just for additional study. It is not for any construction. And the funding for this part of it comes out of the other capital equipment account.
Where would I find that in the budget to say that? How would I know that?
Well, I guess you'd know it had you been a part of the budget review team.
I wasn't.
Okay.
I bet you if you took account of the county board, Gary, there's very few that would know anything about it. That's exactly the point I'm trying to make at policy and planning, that even we can debate the issue if we wanted assisted living. Maybe it's a majority. I changed my mind on Carroll Heights because they gave me more information. They gave me so less information before I could not vote for that. And maybe we're going down the same way. If you want to take that chance, that's old-timer giving some advice. You don't ever have to listen to it. Nowadays, nobody does anyway. Thank you.
Jeff Schrader.
Was part of your first study, did they actually say that this was a good place to establish an assisted living area?
Well, yes.
Has that been studied?
Yes, it has been. On the south side, La Crosse has been on our Hillview campus. They thought it would be ideal.
But when you're saying it's ideal, there are no services there. There's no place where anybody can go to the grocery store. There's nothing out there. You're isolated up there.
Do you mean walking distance?
Walking distance, yes.
Most people in assisted living do not walk at all. Most of them don't even drive.
Well, you're not providing everything there like they are up at Eagle Crest and other places. So they have to go someplace for their groceries.
Right, and that's why we assist them with their needs. Most of their needs can be met through that. They have the option to do that. We're assisting them with those needs that they need there. We are in the bus route, and not all of them are. Is an option, but most people in assisted living, more than half, do not drive.
Okay, so this has been studied, and this is a good spot for it.
Yes, we believe it is, and it's been studied by us and our committee for many years.
Well, I was on that thing, and I guess I would have to see that this would be part of that study that you're going to do that is actually a good place for the assisted living area.
Did you have probably not. I was going to ask you if you had another place in mind, but we do have plenty of land out at Hillview, but that's probably not an appropriate question.
No.
We're on referral. Tom Rauch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I note that as part of the resolution itself is attached a development schedule for this whole process, and I'd make two points on that. Number one, I see that it lists June 18th County Board approval to proceed with Phase 2, so I'll take that as meaning two things. Number one, approval of this resolution is not approval for Phase 2. It is declared the intent to bring it back to the County Board, but I frankly will take it as a second item, having heard agreement from the front of the room that we will get to hear about this issue at a policy planning, that probably that June 18th day will slip a month just to fit in the policy planning presentation on that. We may find it difficult to get directly to that schedule, but that the presentation will take place before we are asked to proceed with Phase 2. So in that context, I'll vote against the referral, but I'll be very careful with my consideration, as Mr. Spiker has mentioned, as Mr. Ebert is trying to get to, before I'll agree to the Phase 2. Thank you.
Ann Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I call the question.
The motion, you were the last hand anyway. The motion is to refer. If you are in favor of referral, vote yes on the computer. If you are opposed, vote no on the computer. If you want it referred to policy planning, at this point, vote yes. If you want to vote on the resolution itself tonight, vote no. Bob Kyle, have you voted? The motion to refer has failed on a vote of 9-21. We're back on the resolution itself, and next person I had on the list was Chuck Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pete, the list from Bethany Lutheran Homes that they list, how many are taxable property? Because we know the one at Hillview won't be property taxes. You won't be paying
them. Right. These lists, and I must say, thank you. We only did not study about 4 to 8 of these units. Mr. Wilson is wrong, but that's not your question. We considered these in the study. But to answer your question, none of these, except Altura Stirring House, the last one is taxable. Nope, Springbrook would be taxable. So Altura and Springbrook are taxable. Bethany St. Joseph, Bethany Lutheran Homes, sometimes have the option to make a payment in lieu of taxes. Okay. But they are not taxable. Those two are taxable and two are not. Bethany Lutheran Homes is not taxed yet, and Bethany St. Joseph is not taxed yet. The other two would be.
Okay. Eagle Crest just worked out a deal with the city of Onalaska for payment in lieu of taxes. They just finalized
that. They don't pay real property. They don't even pay close to what they...
Just the payment in lieu.
I agree with Tara, though. If I read it, pre-design, design, and pre-construction, this looks like the snowballs were rolling downhill. And this is just one phase of it. I don't know what other wording you could have. I'm very disappointed we didn't have a policy and planning meeting on something like this. Because I went through this, and maybe Steve was on the board then in Carroll Heights. Charlie Pierce was the chair at the time, and it was defeated. I just don't want to see that, because I'm not sure I'm for this and against it. I'm really divided. But maybe Gary can help on this. On the funding of it, they say they're going to bond for it, and that bond won't be tax levy dollars, correct?
The intent, again, depending upon how the architect's pre-design comes in, the intent is to borrow money and make the principal interest payments with the revenue that we produce from the facility.
What if the revenue is a shortfall?
Well, that you know.
Where does the money come from then? You got to make the bond payment.
Okay, so you're assuming that the county board agrees to go ahead, we borrow the money?
Mm-hmm.
It could come from Carroll Heights, for example. Carroll Heights is sitting on $2 million in their undesignated fund balance. It could come from other parts of Hillview.
Okay, that goes back to my other part, because I got at the meat of it then. Is this a way to, and I don't object to this, I didn't object to Carroll Heights supplement in Hillview. I think it's a good thing. Will this project, if you show a profit, will that be able to pay for Hillview if it has financial problems down the road?
Yes, it will. There will be income coming to Hillview. We'll be providing meals. We'll be providing staff. There will be positive cash flow to Hillview based on this new facility, like Carroll Heights does. We provide some cleaning services and meals over there. So, correct. Yes, this will be some positive cash flow to Hillview. Now, Hillview has a $13 or $14 million budget. It's not going to make or break Hillview, but it will be positive cash flow to Hillview.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
Audrey Kyler.
Which is a reason we're doing this.
Ralph Geary.
I agree with what John said. We're not talking about commodities here. But the bottom line is this thing shows up in our budget under the nursing home. And the county board a long time ago, I guess, made a decision we're going to be in the nursing home business. And there's probably 9 privates, and there's us. And if we're going to be in the nursing home business, we're going to have to do things that make that thing financially viable. And that's what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at this as a unit. I'm looking at the entire operation out there. If Hillview starts hemorrhaging money, we're going to be taking a real hard look at that operation, that even if we should remain in the nursing home business. And the county board has basically said, just break even on the thing. The privates have already determined that they need these feeder systems, these whatever. And if the county board wants to remain in that business, we're going to have to do things that keep them viable. And by viable, I mean breaking even. They don't need to make a lot of money. As long as I see nothing on the levy, I don't ask a lot of questions about it, because we're all happy that they provided the service. They didn't put it on the tax levy. We know we're in
a modest amount of competition with the privates because they have nursing homes and there may be excess nursing home beds. But the bottom line is, look at it as an overall operation, not as this. Look at it as Hillview. And if as long as we're in that mode, Gary or the finance department, whoever does it, should maybe make a recommendation as to how this helps the long-term viability of the nursing home. If it has no effect, well, then maybe I vote differently. But if it's going to have an effect that it keeps it more viable, then I'm going to be, you know, in favor of it.
Andrea Richmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have discussed this for quite some time. We need to go forward with the design phase, and I would move the question. Thank you.
Move to close debate by Andrea Richmond, seconded by Jay Jont. No, seconded by Brad Conkle. All in favor of closing debate say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Noes, please raise your hand. They are Maureen Friedland, Joe Veenstra, Jay Johnson, Ray Ebert, Jeff Schrader. Debate is closed. If you are in favor of the resolution, vote yes on the computer. If you are opposed to the resolution, vote no. Joe Bilskemper? Joe Bilskemper's computer is having issues. Brad's too? Oh.
Just to clarify, that's just phase one, correct?
Right, just phase one. Joe's computer is the only one that's the older American, apparently. Looks like he's going. Everybody else already has voted. Joe, what's your vote? Joe votes yes, so we'll close the vote. And it passes on a vote of 26-3 then. All right. Audrey, we've already done the next one.
Thank you for your questions.
So 26-4 is left.
I've got resolution to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding authorization to increase part-time hours and provide funding for a clerk entry position in the Veteran Service Officer Department. Whereas the Veteran Service Officer Department has experienced a significant increase in the workload that deals with veterans' burial benefits, and whereas the office has processed cases for 76 county veteran deaths from January 1 through March 31, 2009, And whereas this represents a 26% increase compared to the first quarter of 2008, and whereas the part-time clerk position that deals with these cases has been vacant for more than the first quarter, and whereas in order to deal with the extra workload, the Veteran Service Officer is requesting that approval of additional hours be granted, now therefore be it resolved that the Veteran Service Officer be allowed to increase the hours of their clerk entry position to 23 hours per week, which would add $3,500 additional salary and fringe costs. Be it further resolved that the Finance Department is authorized to transfer $3,500 from the county salary contingency account to the salary account clerk entry position of the Veteran Service Department. The fiscal note is starting hourly wage for the clerk entry position is $13.05 an hour. Increased hours will make this position eligible for part-time insurance. Your approval is I move for approval.
Moved by Audrey Cotter, seconded by Jerry Sobranek. Any discussion on this one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Ms. Cotter?
Yes, thank you, Chairman
right.
Doyle.
Next up, Bug Board, Jill Billings.
thank you, Mr. Chair. I have item 27 for to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, a resolution regarding invasive disease-carrying mosquito control health fund transfer. Whereas Oclerotatis japonicus, an invasive mosquito vector of La Crosse virus and West Nile virus, has been found in La Crosse and surrounding counties, and whereas this mosquito species greatly increases the opportunity for human infection with arboviruses, and whereas targeted control of this mosquito species will reduce human exposure to arboviral infection, now therefore be it resolved that $10,000 be transferred from the La Crosse County Health Fund balance to the 2009 Health Department Vector Control budget to be utilized to employ limited-term vector control staff for surveillance and control of Oclerotatis japonicus. Be it further resolved that $9,319 from the 2009 vector control budget that was to be used for non-staff vector control activities is requested to be used to add limited-term staff time for surveillance and control of Oclerotatis japonicus. Fiscal note, increase vector control monitor limited-term staff time by 0.987 FTE at a cost of $9.41 per hour, salary and fringe, resulting in a total cost of $19,319 for 2009. The additional $10,000 will be transferred from the health fund undesignated fund balance. And I believe this requires a two-thirds vote.
Right, two-thirds of the entire board. Moved by Jill Billings. Is there a second? Second by Bill Brockmiller. Any discussion or questions on this one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. So congratulations, Dave Geske, the man who lives to kill mosquitoes. All right, that it for you, Ms. Billings.
That's it, thank you.
Public Works Infrastructure, Chuck Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 28-4. I think it's the ninth year in a row we've approved, I assume we approve this. Approval of temporary lease with Water Place One LLC, whereas since the mid-1980s, Bikini Yacht Club deck has been a popular attraction with thousands of local residents and tourists located between waterfront and the Park Plaza property. Whereas the BYC deck has been a pivotal element for adjoining marina now called South Bay Marina. Whereas Water Place One LLC, Water Place One, is planning on operating the South Bay Marina again this year with the boat operations running from mid-May through mid-October, and it is extremely important for them to be able to use the BYC deck convenience stores to accommodate the needs of the marina guests. Whereas to operate the BYC deck for 2009 summer season, Water Place One proposes entering a short-term agreement term lease with La Crosse County for 2009 season under lease terms similar to the 2008 lease agreement. Whereas Water Place One agrees for the 2009 season to pay rent in the amount of $1,000, mow the grass, pick up the trash, provide water and electricity to premise, and pay any costs associated with such utilities. Now, therefore, be resolved, our County Board Chair is authorized to sign a lease agreement with Water Place One upon approval of Corporation Council to allow Water Place 1 to operate BYC Deck and Convenience Store during the 2009 season for a term to expire on October 31st, 2009. Fiscal note, no cost to La Crosse County. The rent shall be deposited in Park Plaza property land rent account 1084-550-90. I move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Mr. Spiker, second by Jeff Schrader. Any discussion or questions on this one? Joe Veenstra.
As a matter of general principle, do we usually get personal guarantees on leases to LLCs and other entities?
Bill's the specialist on this resolution.
We don't have a personal guarantee. We just have a lease with them. It's a pretty minimal operation down there. At least they do something at this point to keep the property looking somewhat decent. It's, you know, if you've been by there, it's not great looking, and that's been an issue for a long time. But no, we don't have personal guarantees.
Other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 29-4, Public Works Committee approved the resolution 5-2 as amended by Mr. Papp. Authorization to approve change orders for Phase 7 Modular 1 Liner Construction Project. Whereas the La Crosse County Solid Waste Department budgets for large construction projects on a regular basis, whereas the resolution 5910/08 authorized the process for approving change orders for the LEC addition and remodeling project. Whereas in order to maintain a consistent county policy, a similar process shall be established for the Solid Waste Department. Now, therefore, be resolved that change orders for Phase 7, Modular 1, Liner Construction Project, up to $20,000, shall be approved in accordance with existing authority set forth in Chapter 4-11, Purchasing Procedures and Finance Section of County Ordinance. Be it further resolved that the County Administrator, the Public Works Infrastructure Chair, and a Solid Waste Director are hereby authorized to adjoin approved change orders in amounts greater than $20,000 but less than $75,000 upon unanimous consent agreement. Be it further resolved that change orders in excess of $20,000 not received in unanimous agreement, that all change orders in excess of $75,000 shall require approval of Public Works Infrastructure Committee. Be it further resolved that a list of all approved change orders shall be provided to the Public Works Infrastructure Committee on a monthly basis when they occur. Fiscal note, this change order policy applies to projects remain within the budget total project cost. All change orders that cause a project to exceed the total budget cost will require county board approval. Move for approval, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to speak to it.
Moved by Chuck Spiker, second by Leon Paff. Mr. Spiker.
This resolution came in with a little different title, a little different intent. It was for all change orders we would have under solid waste. And the committee wasn't enlightened with that. So it was offered amendment by Mr. Paff to authorize only by, like this one is Phase 7 Minor 7 Liner Construction. And I can't remember, Steve, maybe you can remember, that project's like a two-year, three-year project.
It's approximately a two-year project.
And so we will be going by the project rather than the whole department. It passed in committee 5-2. It was a reasonable compromise because I don't think either side was real happy with it, and that sometimes makes a good compromise. So I move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion. Maureen Friedland.
Yes, I just have a question. We have a new solid waste director, and there will be a probationary period, as there is for any other person hired in this kind of job or at this kind of capacity. Since that person is new to this department in that job role, is it wise? What does Mr. O'Malley think about the wisdom of having this kind of ability to approve change orders with someone who's new and who is, you know, theoretically untested?
Well, again, it's an attempt to recognize that that any kind of approval of a change order has to have unanimous, so it's not a decision of one individual. That's number one. I don't believe the gentleman that we've hired is untested, but the concept is to make it consistent with the same change order policy that we established for the law enforcement center.
Other discussion or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimous. Oh, Mr. Burns votes no. Okay, one no. That passes. That it for you, Mr. Spiker?
Yes, sir.
That gets us to items for future agendas. Anybody have any or announcements? Is there a motion to adjourn by Mr. Kyle, second by Mr. Sobranek? All in favor say aye.